James chapter 3, a reading which starts with a very searching question. 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness.
I would like to thank all of you for this great opportunity to be here this year and to study here at Cornell, and also to be here and preach to you this evening. It is the beginning of the new calendar year, a time when we make New Year resolutions. At the start of a new year, we want to be wiser and to live better lives. Also, at this time of the year, a special event is celebrated in the church calendar, the visit of three wise men who saw the star and came to bow down before the newborn King Jesus. So these are two good reasons to speak about wisdom. But before I do so, I would like to pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, now, as we open the scriptures that you inspired by your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will give us understanding and the leading of your Holy Spirit, so that your scriptures will make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I do not know about you, but I admire gifted people, especially those with a brilliant mind. For instance, journalists or intellectuals who can just sit down and by the magic of mighty words write a thought-provoking article. Mathematicians who can quickly calculate difficult formulas. Designers who can come up with a new design for a book or a web page in a few minutes. Or scientists who have made new discoveries or have made a significant contribution to human knowledge. There are not many such people in the world, especially in Slovakia. And so I was interested to hear about the following scientist with Slovak origins. Medical researcher Dr. Carlton Gajdúšek, an American scientist whose parents were Slovaks, spent about two decades of at the National Institute of Health and shared the 1976 Nobel Prize for Medicine for his work on so-called slow viruses. The infectious agents include one that causes mad cow disease. He carried out his research in Papua New Guinea. While living in that part of Asia, he gave financial help to more than 50 children, enabling them to get a visa and travel to the United States to study. Would you consider him to be a wise person? Yes, I would. I remember how excited I was when I first started to read the article about him. Wow, what an admirable man, I thought to myself. But my excitement was short-lived, because the article went on to say that while Dr. Gajdúšek was helping the children, he was at the same time sexually abusing some of them. Eventually, surrounded by cameras, he was handcuffed and imprisoned in county jail. Would you still consider him to be a wise person? Who is really wise? Let us look at the Bible to find out what the Bible has to say about the wisdom. The passage we will be studying is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. If you look closer at verses 13 to 18, we immediately see that James is speaking about two kinds of wisdom. One is earthly wisdom, and second is heavenly wisdom. They are standing in contrast to each other in origin, characteristics, and results. The first one, earthly wisdom, has its origin on earth. It belongs to this earthly order of things. James gives the other features of this type of wisdom. It is unspiritual, sensual, fleshly. It has its origin in natural man, unaided by the special regenerating grace. Also, it is devilish wisdom. Peter showed such wisdom when, in spirit of concern, he counseled Jesus not to go the way of the cross. Peter's advice would have led Jesus in the wrong direction and away from the main purpose of his life. The opposite of the earthly wisdom is heavenly wisdom. The origin of heavenly wisdom is heaven. It comes from above, from God. These two kinds of wisdom are in sharp contrast in their characteristics. Earthly wisdom is characterized by bitter envy and selfish ambition. Heavenly wisdom has seven characteristics. The number seven in the scripture symbolizes fullness. The first of them is it is pure. It balances bitter envy. Then it is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. These qualities are necessary for good and peaceful relationships within a fellowship, as opposed to selfish ambition, which creates disharmony among people. The earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom stand in stark contrast to each other also in their results. Earthly wisdom results in disorder and every evil practice, verse 16. But heavenly wisdom results in peace. And we will come to this later. So keeping in mind these two types of wisdom, let us try to discover what kind of person James, the author of these verses, would consider to be a wise person. The first thing we can see is that a wise person shows wisdom in righteous living. Verse 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. When James thinks about wisdom, he does not separate the intellect from moral characteristics. He is not dividing the personality into different compartments: intellect, knowledge, character, emotions, will, behavior, and so on. However, we tend to do this. We say, he is a brilliant thinker, but he is also selfish. Or we say, she's a nice person, but a little bit slow in her thinking. But James considers wisdom as a holistic entity. If somebody is wise, then this has to be outwardly apparent to others by his or her behavior. The emphasis of verse 13 is on verb show. Show, prove it by your life, by the way you live. Faith without works is dead, we are told in chapter 2. Similarly, here we see that wisdom without right conduct is not true wisdom. If you consider yourself to be wise, but your pleasant talk is not backed up by your way of life, your so-called wisdom is not wisdom the Lord would consider as wisdom. Do you consider yourself to be wise? Prove it in righteous living. When we look at verse 13 and the rest of the passage, we see that righteous living is shown in two important things. The first thing is what we achieve by our wisdom. At the beginning of chapter 3, James addresses people who had the ambition to be teachers in the church. So maybe with this group still in his mind, he says, "You teach, which is fine, but what have you achieved by your teaching? Have you moved people into church, people in the church toward a better knowledge of Christ? Or to greater unity? If it is true that you have done this, then you are wise teachers. If you have achieved the opposite, and there are factions and disagreements in the church, like in chapter 4 we read, then you should not consider yourself to be wise teachers." The term wise and understanding is applicable not only to teachers, but includes all Christians in the community. Verses 1 to 12 in our chapter address the way people use their tongue. We use our tongue to praise the Lord, but we can also use it to show off or to speak negatively about others. We can use our conversation to build up the unity of the church, to strengthen relationships and friendship between people, or to dishonor people, to show off our wisdom at the expense of others, and consequently to create disorder. So whatever the context in which we are using our tongue, knowledge or intellect, we should always ask ourselves, what will I accomplish by doing this? Will I contribute to the God's eternal purpose for the church? This leads us to the second thing about righteous living. Not only the result of our effort is important, but so too is the way we do things. Verse 13. In the humility that comes from wisdom. People often say, the end justifies the means. For James, the means are as important as the end. We are to model our conduct on that of Jesus, who is meek. Although Jesus himself urges us, his followers, to adopt this same attitude, because he assures us, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness was considered to be a vice by some writers in James' time. And even today, meekness is often looked upon as a sign of weakness. But in the New Testament, this disposition is seen as a fruit of the Spirit. The Christian is exhorted to be gentle or humble, particularly in situations that have the potential to create conflict. We have learned that the wise person is the one who does not just talk, but who shows wisdom in righteous living. And secondly, a wise person has heavenly wisdom in his or her heart. James wants to pinpoint the fact that we need to have the right wisdom in our heart before we can show it by our conduct. James used a negative example to make his point. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, the text continues, and there is an outcome in verse 16. There you find disorder and every evil practice. So we show outwardly only what we have inwardly in our heart. A question that naturally arises from these verses is, which one of these two types of wisdom do we have in our heart? Heavenly wisdom or earthly wisdom? Because what we have in our heart, it will consequently determine our behavior. James writes his letter to the believers scattered in different cities in Asia Minor after the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem. We read about this persecution in the book of Acts, chapter 8. These Christians, who were Jews by birth, had been part of the very first church. They had seen many great things happening in Jerusalem, had witnessed many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and had been educated by apostles. I just wonder what had happened, what had then happened to them to make it necessary for James to write and rebuke them because of the quarrels and fights among them. Reading these verses, I presume that they gradually started to fill their hearts with earthly wisdom. Their actions might have been caused by the values of earthly life and sensual desires. In this respect, our world today is not so different from their world. The values of this world can easily influence us too. Walking to the city center or shopping mall, we see countless advertisements on billboards and in windows. What do they communicate? You are valued as a person when you are attractive, when you are young, when you are well educated or have a good job, when you can afford to buy this or that, when others admire you and your wisdom too. When we allow this earthly wisdom to occupy our hearts, it becomes natural for us to deduce our personal value from comparing ourselves to others. We become occupied with this never-ending cycle of comparison with others. Jealousy if somebody is ahead of us, striving after better things, reaching our goals and being proud of our accomplishments. And if we do not succeed, we end up being miserable and even more jealous of others. However, when we as Christians allow the values of gospel to inspire us, this will bring the qualities of heavenly wisdom into our hearts. Let us be inspired by the cross of Jesus Christ. God's only Son died on our behalf, and it will give us the assurance of God's love and great value in God's sight. We will be free from ongoing effort to gain our value from acceptance by other people. We will not need to be recognized by others as wise or nice. So which one of these two kinds of wisdom do you have in your heart? The heavenly wisdom or earthly wisdom? Which one of these do you allow to influence your heart? Now, during this time when we have been looking into our own hearts, maybe some of us have recognized that our motivation and the drive of our inner being is influenced by the world, and that there is no heavenly wisdom in our lives. Or perhaps we have realized that we are double-minded and that our hearts should be purified. What should we do? James challenged us in chapter 4. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So confess to the Lord everything you have recognized in your heart as being wrong, all of values of or commitments influenced by earthly wisdom. And pray that God will change your life. According to James, a wise person shows wisdom in righteous living, and secondly, wise person has heavenly wisdom in his or her heart. And thirdly, a wise person is a blessing for the fellowship. Verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This verse is a positive statement. It is a promise. Those who have heavenly wisdom in their hearts and show it by their peacemaking will see the result in fellowship that is pleasing to God. A harmonious fellowship of believers is a soil out of which grows a whole life that is pleasing to God. We should ask ourselves if we really believe this. There are many situations in life in which we are forced to make a choice concerning people. Perhaps we need a choice, we need to choose a subordinate, or to make a decision about the future leader. Or maybe we have just started a new job or new school, and we want to establish a good friendship. Let us imagine the situation. We are to choose between two persons. One of them is well-educated, eloquent, handsome or pretty, has a nice voice, and is smart and witty. But we are not confident about his or her inward qualities. The other person is gentle, sincere, has a pure soul, is peaceable, impartial, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, but not so outwardly gifted. Which one of these individuals would we choose? But what if our decision is about the people in the church? Our opinion will influence the decision about the new small group leader, or elder, or even pastor. There is nothing wrong with giftedness, but these verses emphasize that the qualities of heavenly wisdom are the basic qualities we should expect Christians to display. Talents are an extra bonus, and if people have them, it is great. We live in the world where talent and the giftedness of people is admired and valued very highly. Inward qualities like purity, sincerity, or desire to make peace or impartiality are usually sacrificed for giftedness. And it takes faith. It takes faith to believe that these inward qualities will reap the harvest in the future. It takes belief that the peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Do you believe that? Our text begins with the question, who is wise and understanding among you? We saw that a wise person shows wisdom in righteous living. A wise person has heavenly wisdom in his or her heart. A wise person is a blessing for the fellowship. In my introduction, I mentioned that I admire gifted people, especially those with a brilliant mind. I do not know about you, but after reading and studying James, I will have to change my mind about who the wise person is. May the Lord Jesus give us all the wisdom we were reading about just now in the book of James, and in this during this year 2010. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we were thinking about the wisdom that has its origin in you. And we confess that we lack heavenly wisdom, and we ask you to give us wisdom according to your purposes. To you, the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing song number 818. At the end of this song, we will repeat the first verse again, because we are singing in different tune. Yeah? So, song number 811.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.